Hello, this is Sarah with the News Gazette dated Friday, September 11th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, "A Rewarding Talk: Champaign County Crime Stoppers." Dave Benton, Crime Fighter of the Year. He's changing lives forever. Master Barber with a Past Honored for Mentorship by Luke Taylor. Champaign. Carlos Harvey gave his first haircut when he was 13 years old. 39 years, thousands of work hours, a paralyzing injury, involvement in gun violence, and time in prison later, he's working to pass on all he's learned to the people who need it most. He compares it to making gumbo. "I take everything I've been through, mix it up together, and serve it," Harvey said. "It gives me something to get up for every day, helping somebody get in across that threshold." On Thursday night, he was recognized at the Champaign County Crime Stoppers 40th anniversary celebration as this year's Dave Benton Crime Fighter of the Year for his impact on the community. His journey began as a barber when he kept noticing his older brother was in the bathroom when he wanted to be in there. Harvey finally asked him one day what he was doing all the time, and his brother showed him that he was often shaving or doing his hair, keeping his appearance neat. He told me, "You can get outside and meet one person that can change your life forever. First impressions are always lasting impressions," Harvey said. I ran and told my mom and asked her to buy me a pair of clippers, and she did. Older kids down the street would cut each other's hair, so Harvey started telling his own friends to come over for a trim. Practice soon earned him some loyal customers, and in high school he was doing about 10 haircuts a week at around $15 each. "That's good pocket money at that age," Harvey said. It wasn't smooth sailing. Harvey said he has had a lot of distractions growing up. "I've been a shooter. I've been a gunshot victim. I've been stabbed up, paralyzed, told I'd never walk again. I'm blind in my left eye," he said. "But evidently, God kept me here for a reason." During a period in incarceration, Harvey remembers being in a crowd of other prisoners and looking across the room as it cleared. He saw two very young men there, clinging to each other, looking scared to death. He wanted to stop other young people from ending up in that situation. "I wanted to come home and do what I could from my lane," Harvey said. After undergoing additional training and getting his cosmetology license, he'd been a professional barber and racked up enough hours to be considered a master barber. Harvey decided to pass the lessons he'd learned from his brother's recommendation to look his best all the way through what he'd experienced as an adult to everyone willing to learn. With the support of CU Church, he was able to open a cut above the rest barber academy, where he walks students through everything it takes to be a barber. That means cutting hair well, of course, but he also teaches them business management, customer service, financial responsibility, and how to give to the community. It's the little things. It's the barber's duty to teach young kids the importance of hygiene and presenting oneself well, in Harvey's opinion. A cut above the rest is also a community center itself, with shelves full of books for kids to read, scheduled get-togethers with a registered therapist for fathers to talk and support one another, and more. The academy has graduated 26 students so far, with more on the way. Harvey is also proud of a youth summer camp for ages 13 through 17, where he tries to offer a productive activity and an avenue for young people to make some cash and feel independent without resorting to criminal activity. He's currently seeking funding to expand even further, potentially working with a local woman who teaches hair braiding and hoping to start a program where students are paid minimum wage while learning to cut hair. "Everything I went through, I try to pass it on, and, of course, everything is centered around love," Harvey said. Image shows a woman talking to a man who is Olympic gold medalist Bonnie Blair, talking to the president of Champaign County Crime Stoppers, John Hecker, during the organization's 40th anniversary banquet Thursday evening at Carmen's in downtown Champaign. The Station Theater, watching the seats fly away. Tickets to musical about diverted 9/11 passengers sold out quickly. By Janet Wiersema. Urbana. Jacqueline Lowenstein, with the Station Theater, has seen the organization's production sell out before. But for a show with roughly 15 performances to sell out a week before opening night, this has never happened before, she said. The Station Theater's production of Come From Away, directed by Lowenstein, opened Thursday night and will run for about 2 weeks, with 17 shows scheduled from September 10th through the 27th. The musical is based on the true story of 7,000 airline passengers who were diverted to the small, compassionate town of Gander, Newfoundland, after the September 11th, 2001 attacks, the theater company said. Lowenstein describes the show as basically a docu-musical with a few liberties taken. It's a roller coaster of emotions from start to finish, she said. The show is very funny on top of being poignant and sad at times. It really surprises people, I think, that it's written in a way that brings a lot of humor and humanity to this really confusing, tragic situation. Single show tickets for the Station Theater's 54th season, as well as season tickets, went on sale July 7th. On August 21st, the theater announced the addition of a September 19th matinee of Come From Away due to unprecedented advance sales, and a September 26th matinee was announced on September 3rd. Lowenstein said the tickets for the September 26th matinee sold out in one day, and there are huge wait lists for every performance, with individuals signing up for notifications in case other playgoers end up canceling their tickets. This Wednesday, individuals on the waitlist were notified that a September 20th evening performance had been added. Tickets went on sale the next morning and were gone in just an hour or two. "I'm watching the seats fly away," Lowenstein said at approximately 10:45 a.m. Thursday. "Right at this moment, we have 27 seats left. And then we had a glitch at 10 a.m., and it really didn't open until closer to 10:20. By 11:37 a.m., only one ticket was left. By 12:10 p.m., there were none. The Station Theater doesn't plan to add any more performances of Come From Away at this point, Lowenstein said. "Unfortunately, we've maxed out, the days and times that we can reasonably expect humans to do," she told the News Gazette, adding that next week's slate of seven shows is practically a Broadway schedule. The idea of finding a larger venue for additional performances has crossed her mind. The Station Theater is configured to offer about 70 seats for this particular production, but the theater company hasn't had time to explore the possibility. It's a popular title among, at least among some people. Some people have never heard of it, but between the popularity of the title and the timing coinciding with the 25th anniversary of 9/11, and a really powerhouse cast that we have some of the most popular musical theater actors in town, it all added up a lot of advance ticket sales, Lowenstein said. According to Playbill, Come From Away opened on Broadway in 2017. Music Theater International announced in November 2025 that the show was available to license for local productions in the U.S. and Canada. "I personally have been waiting 9 years to bring this show to the Station Theater and have had my eye on directing it ever since I saw it on Broadway," Lowenstein said. "So it's a pretty magical experience for me." History. International history. Today's highlight. On September 11th, 2001, nearly 3,000 people were killed as 19 Al-Qaeda hijackers seized control of four jetliners, sending two of the planes into New York's World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and the fourth into a field in western Pennsylvania. It remains the deadliest terrorist attack in history. On this date in 1789, Alexander Hamilton was appointed the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. In 1814, an American fleet scored a decisive victory over the British in the Battle of Lake Champlain in the War of 1812. In 1857, settlers from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and members of the Utah Territorial Militia massacred 120 pioneers in Mountain Meadows, Utah. In 1936, Boulder Dam, later renamed the Hoover Dam, began operation as President Franklin D. Roosevelt pressed a button in Washington to signal the startup of the dam's first hydroelectric generator. In 1941, groundbreaking took place for the Pentagon. In 1954, the Miss America pageant made its network TV debut on ABC. In 1973, Chilean President Salvador Allende died during a violent military coup led by General Augusto Pinochet. In 2007, Russia announced that it had successfully tested the world's most powerful non-nuclear bomb, a thermobaric weapon nicknamed the father of all bombs. In 2008, presidential candidates John McCain and Barack Obama put aside politics as they visited Ground Zero together on the anniversary of 9/11 to honor its victims. In 2012, a mob armed with guns and grenades launched a night-long attack on a U.S. diplomatic outpost in a Qala annex in Benghazi, Libya, killing U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans. In 2023, over 4,000 people died and thousands more were missing after heavy rain from Mediterranean storm Daniel caused two dams to collapse, flooding the city of Derna, Libya. Top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy staff writer Luke Taylor. Bellying up with, on Fridays, we'll spotlight the men and women serving up cold ones in conversation in our neck of the woods. Let us know about your favorite bartender by emailing ltaylor@news-gazette.com. Brand new to the bartending scene, Cheyenne Walls is settling right in at the family business, Danville's Fat Man's Warehouse. If you know our family, you know how close we are. And whenever one of us starts a new chapter or takes on a new opportunity, we're always there to support each other, Walls said. When my parents needed help, it honestly wasn't a difficult decision for me to step in and be there for them. She was 20 years old when her parents bought the bar, so she only started bartending in December. But Walls has been training on the register, taking customer orders, and behind-the-scenes business processes for a while. While there may be ups and downs of working with family, Walls says she wouldn't trade working alongside the people she loves. When you come to Fat Man's, you don't just become a customer, you become family, Walls said. We laugh together, party together, occasionally ruffle a few feathers, and even cry together. At the end of the day, we love our people, and we want everyone who walks through our doors to feel like they belong. Walls loves making new drinks or having a regular's order ready for them by the time they get through the door. Outside of bartending, she said she has worked in the medical field and recently earned an EMT certification. Fat Man's has been pretty special to me personally. I actually met my now fiancé there and I got engaged there too, Walls said. So I always joke that if you're looking for your lifetime partner, Fat Man's might just be the lucky spot. Smithsonian marks attack's anniversary with artifact display, Washington. Seatbelts and a flight attendant call button from the doomed United Airlines Flight 93. A purse filled with keys and a wallet recovered from the World Trade Center site. The telephone that sat on U.S. Solicitor General Ted Olson's desk when his wife, Barbara, called from a hijacked airplane. The Smithsonian's National Museum of American History is honoring the 25th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 attacks this week, with displays of dozens of rarely seen objects that tell the story of that day in often searingly personal terms. The exhibit, which runs through Saturday, comes as the museum is growing under scrutiny by President Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress over the manner in which it tells American history. The Smithsonian began collecting items just months after the attacks, and regularly displays some of them throughout the sprawling museum along the National Mall. But this week's exhibit is unique, as the items are displayed on tables rather than seen through glass. The museum's director, Anthea Hartig, said some of the items being shown this week are so fragile they'll probably never go on display. The goal, she said, is to help visitors both never forget, but also kind of reconnect, as a new generation emerges that didn't experience the attacks. This has truly slipped into history rather than being a part of our memory landscape, she said. Some of the items, including a beeper belonging to an employee who worked on the 97th floor of the South Tower, harken back to office life at the turn of the century. A candy dispenser from the Pentagon includes melted chocolate. The museum has faced conservative criticism since the White House released a report on Independence Day branding its leadership as radical activists. Hartig faced 2 days of congressional hearings in July, where Republicans argued the museum should present a more unifying version of American history, prompting concern from historians that lawmakers in the White House were more interested in revisionism than accurate history. Trump later ordered his administration to install signs in front of the museum telling visitors that some of the exhibits are inaccurate. More than a month later, such signs have not been installed. Medal of Honor Monument to be built on National Mall. By Rachel Royster, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Arlington, Texas. President Donald Trump announced Thursday that a new monument will be built on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., signing the final legislative step for the location during a ceremony Thursday at the National Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington. The Herschel Woody Williams National Medal of Honor Monument Location Act is named after the final surviving World War II Medal of Honor recipient, who died on June 2022. The act unanimously passed the Senate in March. A plot near the Lincoln Memorial was initially scouted for the new monument, but Trump said Thursday that a new site will need to be found. "We'll get you the best site in all of Washington," the president promised. Federal funds will not be used to build the monument. Instead, the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation, chaired by Charlotte Jones, will raise the funds required to complete the project. The foundation also funds the Arlington Museum that opened in March 2025. A brass quartet from the 1st Cavalry Division Band at Fort Hood greeted guests with patriotic tunes as they entered the museum reception Thursday morning. The curated audience of about 150 included House Speaker Mike Johnson and a number of Texas Republican politicians, Senator Ted Cruz, Representative Roger Williams, State Representative Tony Tinderholt, State Senator Phil King, and Tarrant County Judge Tim O'Hare were present. The crowd waited in Brady Hall for 2 hours, patiently awaiting the president's arrival once he concluded a private tour of the museum. About an hour after the scheduled start time, 15 Medal of Honor recipients walked into applause. Jones, daughter of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, and an executive vice president of the team herself, opened the reception by saying, "America needs a Medal of Honor monument now more than ever before." "This is a prime example of unity," Charlotte Jones said. "It's a prime example of impact about courage and sacrifice, and it takes those values to bring all of us together across the aisle, side by side for our country." Trump took the stage to Lee Greenwood's "God Bless the USA" and a standing ovation from the crowd. He profusely complimented Jones and the museum. Trump said the level of bravery is incredible of the Medal of Honor recipients. After the president signed the bill into law, Jones presented him with the foundation's Champion of Honor Award for his commitment to preserving and sharing the legacies of recipients, and for ensuring recipients of the highest decoration of valor and combat are permanently recognized. With this museum and a new monument in Washington, D.C., America will never, ever forget what they did and what they risked, and how much they risked, and what they've meant to their families and what they've meant to our country, Trump said. A Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration awarded by the U.S. About 4,000 have been awarded, and 65 recipients are still alive. Images show President Donald Trump signing the Herschel Woody Williams National Medal of Honor Monument Site Location Act after speaking Thursday at the National Medal of Honor Museum in Arlington, Texas. The act authorizes the location of a monument honoring Medal of Honor recipients in Washington, D.C. Images by Amanda McCoy, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Trump administration. Many in Congress condemn President's $1.3 trillion rebate idea. Washington. President Donald Trump's pitch to send Americans $5,000 checks, should Republicans prevail in the November midterms, is drawing scorn from some members of Congress, the very people who have constitutional authority over federal spending. Economists and other political observers are voicing concerns about the potential effects on inflation and the national balance sheet. Taken together, it's a swift reaction that makes clear that Trump's dubious election year gambit is likely little more than another grand promise from a politician with a long history of them. Donald Trump is a known liar. This is the biggest liar to ever serve in the government, period, said Representative Robert Garcia, Democrat, California, who was in Dallas on Thursday as part of his party's effort to counter Republicans' midterm convention. The dividend is not happening. Trump previously pledged to use savings from the Department of Government Efficiency and revenue from tariffs on foreign imports to distribute payments of $2,000 or more, but none of that came to pass. His latest idea comes as the U.S. economy is reckoning with persistent inflation and rising interest rates, two forces that have politically undermined Republicans after previously helping them reclaim power from Democrats. Trump claimed the payments would be possible because of the economy's strength, yet consumer sentiment is weak as gasoline prices are increasing because of the war with Iran and wages are struggling to keep pace with inflation. Trump said in an interview with CBS News Texas that he doesn't believe Congress would need to approve his planned payments, though he did not specify how he could spend more than $1 trillion without Congress. Well, we think not, Trump said about congressional approval. I think they will do it if we need it, but we think not. A few of Trump's allies embraced the idea, including Senator Bernie Moreno, Republican, Ohio, who said he would prepare legislation for the payments. Michigan Representative Tim Walberg, the Republican chairman of the House Education and Workforce Committee, said, "It was the first I heard of it last night," but called it good economic policy. If it can be done, the American taxpayer deserves the benefit of having more in their pocket than the government, Walberg said ahead of a brief session Thursday at the Capitol. But critics accused him of trying to buy votes at a time when Republicans are trying to maintain slim majorities in Congress. I don't know about you all, but frankly, I'm insulted by the notion that my vote this November could be bought for $5,000, Representative Thomas Massie, Republican, Kentucky, who is one of Trump's least favorite lawmakers, wrote on social media, not to mention the inflation this would cause. Representative Ted Lieu, Vice Chairman of the House Democrat Caucus, outright mocked the president. If Democrats flip the House and Senate, everyone will get a $10,000 dividend and a pony and free ice cream for life, he posted on social media. Folks can also choose free yogurt for life because we're Democrats, after all. The president's proposal, unveiled in his nearly two-hour speech Wednesday night in Dallas, would carry a price tag exceeding $1.3 trillion if Congress were to authorize $5,000 payments to the nation's 270 million adults. The Treasury is already running a current annual deficit approaching $1.8 trillion, and the total national debt topped $40 trillion this year. According to Treasury Department data, that interest expense for fiscal year 2026 will come to about $1.27 trillion, similar to the projected cost of Trump's idea. U.S. Supreme Court. Missouri to use 2022 map for next election. Jefferson City, Missouri. Missouri is poised to hold its November election with congressional districts passed after the last census. After the U.S. Supreme Court on Thursday again rejected a new map backed by President Donald Trump that Republicans hoped could help them win an additional seat in the pivotal midterms. The Supreme Court's decision marked a defining moment in a pitched legal battle that has lasted nearly a year and caused confusion for voters. Citing the court's latest action, Missouri's chief election official directed local authorities to use U.S. House districts passed in 2022, as the state's highest court had ordered. Trump wanted courts to allow the use of his preferred map, which lawmakers approved last year at his urging. The decision means Missouri could run the November general election with different U.S. House districts than were used in the August primary, an extremely rare situation that could switch the candidate choices for more than a million potential voters, or nearly one in four voters statewide, according to an Associated Press estimate. No Supreme Court justices publicly dissented from the brief order. It did not detail the court's legal reasoning, as in typical in emergency appeals. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the U.S. Supreme Court decision. Almanac. There are 111 days left in the year. Notable birthdays. Composer Arvo Pärt is 91. Film director Brian De Palma is 86. Singer-actor-dancer Lola Falana is 84. Musician Mickey Hart is 83. Guitarist Leo Kottke is 81. Actor Amy Madigan is 76. Rock musician Tommy Shaw of Styx is 73. Actor Scott Patterson is 68. Actor-director Roxanne Dawson is 68. Actor John Hawkes is 67. Actor Virginia Madsen is 65. Musician-composer Moby is 61. Singer Harry Connick Jr. is 59. Actor Taraji P. Henson is 56. Rapper Ludacris, a Champaign native, is 49. Football Hall of Famer Ed Reed is 48. Country singer Charles Kelly, Lady A, is 45. Actor Elizabeth Henstridge is 39. Actor Tyler Hoechlin is 39. NFL wide receiver Zay Flowers is 26. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated September 11th, 2026. Please stay tuned.